Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. This is episode 100, part two.
Part two.
I am Mark Cook, along with Mr. Scott Reynolds, my boss, and my subordinate, the man that listens to me and has to do everything I say, include wash, wax, and detail my car, and powder my sneakers, Mr. Trevor Sycama.
I don't wax it, but
that's true.
The rest of it's true.
All the other stuff is true. Anyway, gosh, guys, I don't have any idea what we're going to talk about on this podcast. Boring Monday.
Not a lot to talk about,
One
right?
Buccaneer play. Same old, fellas.
Yep. We get some breaking news, fellas. What? Mike Smith's been fired.
Yeah, right.
It's true.
Seriously. Come on, seriously.
Yeah. No, really. What happened? What's the news?
No, they're just late to the party. I said this on October 5th on my SR's Fab 5.
Yeah, hey.
Dirk Cutter should fire Mike Smith and replace him with Mark Duffner.
And he read the article.
And followed it word for word.
And listened to the pod. Big fan of the pod, Dirk Cutter.
Yeah, big fan of the pod. Just 2 weeks late, but...
I think Dirk's overreacting a little bit here.
Oh, my God. I mean, you couldn't even not laugh, dude.
Yes, because the Bucks fell from 31st to 32nd in total defense. Is that why?
No, it's the other way around. You know, to be fair, they were ranked 32nd last year.
Yeah.
They ranked 31st this year.
Yes.
And when if you listen to the Glazers, it's you're going in the right direction.
Right. The arrow's pointing up.
If the arrow is pointing up, Dirk just, he jumped
at
the conclusions
this pace,
on
another
this
30 seasons, this team will have the top-ranked defense
the
in
top
the NFL.
The top-ranked
team.
And now it's just derailed.
Yeah.
Just to,
Yeah.
Look, there go the Buccaneers again, firing another coach.
After 2 years.
Wow,
he made it 2.5. That's
okay.
My problem.
Okay, yeah.
They just waited. They didn't give him enough time.
Okay, yeah, he was bad.
No, I was talking with Rick Stroud in the locker room during open locker room period today, and we were just kind of quizzing each other. It's like, when was the last time the Buccaneers had a good, credible defense? And you'd have to go back to really 2007. It's really been that long since you had from start to finish. And it wasn't like there weren't a couple of bad showings by the defense in 2007, but you look back at the collapse in December of 2008 when Monty Kiffin was already in, mentally in Tennessee.
His team was 9-3, first place, home field throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, and then Lane Kiffin gets the job in Tennessee. His dad, Monty, says, I'll go there. I'll become a defense coordinator. It'll be great. And then the team craps the bed. They give up.
Is Lane Kiffin like
300 yards rushing?
An enemy of the Buccaneers?
I think for Buccaneer fans, yeah.
You think?
Yeah, for old-time Buccaneer fans that were, in tune during the John Gruden years, they look at Lane Kiffin as... They look at Lane Kiffin the way I look at
Yoko
Mike
Ono, who broke up the Beatles.
Well, that too, yeah. Mike Stoops cost Kansas State a shot at the defense or a shot at the national championship in 1998. He was the defensive coordinator. Had a meltdown in the Big 12 championship game against Texas A&M. We had a lead. He just crapped the bed. He just freaked out and lost.
So that was really the last time the Buccaneers had a good defense.
Yeah, 2008.
I mean, it's going to be 2007. I was thinking about this as I was. Yeah. Driving to the facility today for the Cutter press conference after they announced it. Listen, I wasn't late for it, okay? I was in the room before Cutter came to the podium.
You weren't in your seat.
Meaning, I was in the back of the room. Anyways, I was thinking about, what I was going to write, cover three, because people are asking, what's his defense going to look like, blah, blah, blah. And
he was jet lagged from Atlanta.
For as long as I've...
Oh, guys, I'm so tired this morning. I can't proof the mailbag.
I was the only one who proofed it, all right?
By the way, guys, thanks a lot. Have the mailbag ready at 9 o'clock. Okay, it's ready at 11 o'clock. Anyone going to proof?
Anyways.
You're learning the inside scoop
I've
of how Pewter Report
team
works, by the
for
way.
Pewter Report. For 2 years. Well, this is my second year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of freelance covering it the year before. So the only defense I've known for the Buccaneers is Mike Smith's. I've never known any other
you don't need
like,
to know another
defense.
One.
I'm sorry.
Or like studied any
I'm really,
other kind of,
really
well, now
sorry.
I get to, expand my horizons. I get to bitch at somebody else now. It's good.
There
it's
you
great.
Go. Listen,
I'm excited.
I hate,
I'm really
I hate
excited.
To tell you and Pewter Nation out there that's listening. This is going to be the same defense. It's just going to have some different calls, some different points of emphasis.
Yeah. I don't know if I should say this or not. Well, I'm going to. This is why you listen to the Pewter Nation podcast for this inside scoop. Not that it's that inside, but you know, I made my way around open locker room while you and Stroud were talking. I was working, but I went around and talked to some players, but strictly off the record. You know
Alan
what I mean?
Cross, maybe?
No, it wasn't Alan. I mean, I did talk to Alan, but that was about bowling.
Yeah.
No, I talked to some players, and I'll tell you what. First of all, we're standing in there waiting on players to come in.
Yes.
Here comes the linebackers. They're all jolly and happy and cutting up, and who's going to play ping pong? And like I would think, you know, they'd be sad like Mike Smith died or something, right? No. There was no – but I talked to a few players, and they all were – I was like, you know, is this a fresh start for you guys? Is this going to be new? And they were like, yeah, I don't – it's going to be pretty much the same defense, you know. It's, you know, just different guy
and here's
making
why.
The calls. And so I'm not saying that it won't change things. I'm just saying the players that I talk to aren't necessarily looking at this as, we're going to turn things around.
It's the same scheme. It's going to be the same plays. It's
with
just
the same players.
That's the number one thing,
the same players.
It's just going to be what coverage are you going to call in this situation, which are you going to blitz or not blitz? I mean, there's only so much you can do from a defensive standpoint with your scheme.
Don't you think Duffner is a guy that is going to make his players more accountable, though? And Mike Smith is kind of that easygoing, nice, grandpa-ish kind of guy, right? Duffner curses at the groundskeepers. You know, he's a grumbler.
He's a surly old guy, but he brings a lot of energy. He's a very animated coach where Mike Smith is not. And sometimes players – and that's what Levante Davis told us on the record today was
– Davis or David?
David.
Okay.
Sorry. Carlton David.
He's my favorite linebacker.
Levante David said that the Duffner is going to bring a lot of energy, and he is. You hear him out there on the field. He is a surly guy.
He's got to be on the field though, right? Because he's still going to be the linebackers coach. Dirk said, "I would like to see
him on the sidelines.
Yes. You know what I mean? I really do. Because if you're going to have a guy who is a in your face kind of a guy, you know, I would like for him to be on the sideline, not yelling down in a telephone. You know what I mean? Just loses a little effectiveness when you're 800 feet above the defense.
Agreed.
But you do get a better view.
You do get a better view for sure. But I think Duffner, you know, can change things a little bit. I talked to an offensive player, and this offensive player said, "I don't know. It doesn't affect me. It's the other side of the ball." He says, "But I mean, how much can really change?" You know,
that's my point. Not a lot can change.
Well, I think, you know, there are two sides to this. You know, obviously, you can look at when the Buccaneers are struggling on defense, and it's like, okay, the defense coordinator, the leadership, how they're communicating, what they should be doing, assignments. Mm-hmm. Like how they're teaching
things can be
it.
Simplified for sure,
things,
and they need to
like,
be.
Like that was obviously a problem, but I mean, don't act like firing Mike Smith was the only part of this. I mean, like the players sucked too. You know, like it's not one
Dirk
or the other.
Dirk Cutter is correct when he says Mike Smith. This is
a
didn't miss any
thing.
Tackles,
right.
Didn't blow any coverage.
The players missed tackles. The players softened coverage. The players miss assignments, all this kinds of stuff. Like, that's an actual thing. Could communication be better? Could things be simpler?
Yeah.
Could they blitz more? Could they be more? Yeah, all those things are true, but it's also true that the players just sucked for these last 3 weeks.
And I think the one thing that has to change is, and Greg Allman mentioned this during the press conference, something
Ramble
we've
man.
All seen, is that the defense has played better against the Steelers in the second half, has played better against even the Bears in the second half, and certainly against the Falcons in the second half. It's just that this team gets buried in the first half by allowing 24 points or whatever. And you can't do that and then expect to put your offense in position where they have to throw the ball and have to you know, come back from behind to win these games.
Mm-hmm.
And
great.
So I think that blitzing earlier and having some emphasis right out of the gate,
I thought they
blitzed pressure.
I kind of thought that they blitzed a decent amount of the first. Not right away. Don't get me wrong.
Not
right
away.
They didn't,
and that's
know.
The key.
But like even in the first half, there was a series where they blitzed a bunch and it didn't work. Like they just don't know they don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
They just don't know what they're doing.
When I spoke to that offensive player, we were talking about the blitzing thing, and he said, but. You know, what's that really going to do? You know what I mean? If you don't get there, is it the players? Is it the scheme? He was asking me.
Yeah.
I said, you know, it's probably a combination of both. But you know what? If you're going to go out, you know, go out guns a-blazing.
Of course.
Right? I mean, you have nothing else
you
to lose.
You have to give yourself a chance.
The difference is, and he goes, well, why do you think Mike Smith wasn't very aggressive? I love it when players ask us. You had a player ask you some questions last week.
Yes,
very
absolutely.
He said, why don't you think? I said, I don't know this, but I would think that with the young players in the secondary, they were afraid to give up the big plays. And this guy's like, well, okay, so you give up a big play in 10 – I mean, you give up 80 yards in – eight plays.
It's 80 yards either way.
Either way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And he said that gets us back on the field. Whatever.
Here's the faulty logic when it comes to like, okay, well, we're going to make them go 10 plays for 80 yards and we're going to hope that they're going to make a mistake. Okay, well, a guy like Matt Ryan is not going to make any mistakes.
Not if you don't get any
pressure
on the guy.
He's a veteran quarterback. Exactly. Yep. If you give him a clean pocket, he's not going to throw interceptions. Right. He's not going to make mistakes. So you're hoping on what? A false start by an offensive lineman or a holding call? I think the Buccaneers had that luck happen twice in the game, right, where there was a false start and a holding call. Okay, that happened once out of the Falcons' 12 or 13 possessions. Okay, so you can't you can't sit back and cross your fingers, you know, and pray to your lucky stars and garters that luck is going to happen. You got to make your own luck. You have to apply pressure, and there's a reason why the Steelers kicked the dog crap out of the Falcons the previous week. It's because Matt Ryan was on the ground. He was hit like 11 times, sacked several times, did not have a good game. You have to affect veteran quarterbacks, and guess what? If you don't affect rookie quarterbacks or second-year quarterbacks like they didn't affect Mitchell Trubisky, those guys are talented enough to pick you apart, too.
I think Duffner's the right guy for the position, and I know a lot of people wanted Brinson Buckner, and he may turn out to be one day a great defensive coordinator. I just don't know that he has the experience. Duffner has the experience, but what I like about Duffner is I think that the linebackers, out of all the units on the defense, were probably used the wrong way as much as anything.
Yes.
When you go back and look at a couple years ago when Quan and Levante had five or six sacks apiece or whatever it was, I don't remember what it was, and then last year, zero.
Yeah.
So you know Duffner is going to want to utilize those guys, and we'll put them in the best position to succeed because they're his unit and he knows them the best.
Okay. Here's a story for you. True story. This happened at the Senior Bowl.
About a lovely lady
no,
who was living with three kids of her own?
No. This happened at the Senior Bowl, and I had a chance to talk to Mark Duffner.
Yes.
And because we don't get to talk to the assistants a lot here at One Buccaneer Place. Not at all like under Dungy or Gruden where the assistants were made available all the time
Raheem.
And all that. Yeah, even Raheem. So I saw Duffner at the Senior Bowl. It went up to him next, or went up next to him, and you know, we just kind of were talking small talk. We were talking actually about.
Wait, how did you introduce yourself? What'd you say?
He knew me.
I know. What'd he say? What'd you say?
Oh, hey, coach. I said, "Hey, coach." He's like, "Arr."
Yeah, I was gonna say you do that. He's like Frankenstein.
He's a nice guy.
Oh, hey, Scott.
Listen, Mark Duffner's a nice guy.
Yeah.
It's just a little frightening sometimes.
Yeah, I would not want to be his kid coming in 5 minutes late past curfew.
Oh yeah, hell no. So we're talking.
Destroys the car, busts the windshield out, takes a baseball bat to your car.
He can go Hulk smash, I would think. So we're looking at the linebackers out there, you know, and just to kind of paint the picture, we're looking actually at Shaquem Griffin, the UCF linebacker.
High five.
And he said, gosh, you know, you got some linebackers out here, you know, didn't have any interceptions with two hands. That guy's got one, and he had two or three at UCF, you know. And you know, we're just talking all that. And I said, Coach, I'm just stunned that Levante and Quan, after having five sacks and three sacks the previous year, didn't have any last year. And he said, that's what he said. Yeah, he said, you and me both. And I said, well, I've written about it. He's like, well, keep writing it. And I said, I will. He's like, keep writing it, because what you write gets talked about in the building. It starts conversations, okay? So keep writing it. You think we need pressure, then you write that. And I said, I've done it, and I'll continue to do it. And I have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I made, listen, Peter Nation, Buccaneer fans out there, I've told you that we are going to call it like we see it. Not pulling punches anymore. That's why we said Mike Smith had to go after the Chicago Bears game. Okay.
That's why you said Greg Schiano had to go.
Yes.
Lovie Smith had to
You're
go.
You're 3-3, right?
Yes. And I don't want to.
Basically,
be.
Scott's running the team.
If
Scott has
if
run
Scott
the team.
Running
since
the team. Scott is now. Scott
Do not
is
put
now
that
3-3. If.
Listen, don't put that on me.
Yeah.
Right?
If Scott
he
Reinhardt.
He hired Dirk Cutter, too. Remember? He said Lovie Smith should be fired and Dirk Cutter should be hired.
Didn't you
That's
say
true.
That?
Yeah, I did. That's true.
So if Scott says a coach should be fired,
It happens.
He's 3-3.
Yes.
And it was also 3-3 of the right call.
And 2-2 on the replacements.
Okay, have you ever seen those financial advisor commercials that say, you know, past performance is not indicative of future results? You know, they would throw that disclaimer out there that, hey, just because the stock market is doing great now doesn't mean it's going to be great tomorrow. So I'm not saying these moves are going to be overly successful. I'm not saying that Dirk Cutter is going to take this team to the Super Bowl, no, and Mark Duffner is going to be, you know, the savior defensive coordinator. It's just that from Lovie Smith, Dirk Koetter was the right call. And from, you know, from Mike Smith, Mark Duffner right now is the right call. And we'll see how it goes.
You know what I'm doing if I'm Mike Smith right now? As soon as I walked out of this building, swing by the old Bank of America, I'm going to go ahead and pull me a couple mil out of the bank.
Bank of America is not one of our sponsors.
Do we have a bank sponsor yet?
We don't.
Well, by the way, if you're a bank and you're out there listening, Pewter Report would love to have you as the official bank of Pewter Report.
That's
contact
true.
Contact Mark Cook at mark@pewterreport.com.
There you go.
For more information on advertising, being partners with Pewter Report. But I'm going to the bank, the generic bank.
All right.
Pulling a couple mil out.
Yep.
Going to the nearest boat store. I'm getting me a damn boat. And I'm going to name it, I don't know, retired, whatever.
Off coverage?
Wow.
Good.
The good thing about Mike Smith driving a boat is he'll never hit another boat because he's always going to be 10 yards away from the boat in the marina. They're going to be like, you need to bring the boat in a little closer. And he's like, nope, 10 yards is close enough, guys.
We're piling on now.
You're going to have to swim out to it.
Sorry, we are piling on.
But if you buy a new boat.
You know what wasn't piling on?
Huh?
You know what was also piling on?
What?
The yards on a Mike Smith defense. Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I'm going to go, and I'm going to get my new boat, and I'm going to be the boat. When you buy the boat, they're like, hey, we can add this, and we can add that. And it's kind of like when you buy a car from a dealership, right? They try and, you know, get the most out of you. Don't do that. Take your new boat. Take it to a place in Tampa. If I can only remember the name of it. Anybody? Ring a bell?
T.A. Mahoney's.
T.A. Mahoney's. That's it. Yeah. 50th Street in Atomo. Take it there and let them accessorize your boat.
Is everything that Nick Carter calling for a boat you right
Nick
now?
Carter has called 3 times today. He is fired up.
I'm not kidding. You are leaving Nick Carter on read right now?
You want me to answer it?
Answer it, yes.
Put it on speakerphone?
Call him back.
We're going to call him back.
Is it going to sound good on the
radio? Probably not, but
I don't think it'll sound good.
Well, Do we sound good? Come on.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Nick for 10 seconds and say, Nick, we're doing a podcast right now. Say hello to Pewter Nation. And then we'll call you right back.
All right, we're gonna call Nick back. But in the meantime, go to T.A. Mahoney's. He's leaving me a voicemail.
There you go.
But go to T.A. Mahoney's. Get your boat accessorized.
Don't overpay
at the dealership for things. Go to T.A. Mahoney's. They've got the best prices on all the accessories that you need to customize your boat, from custom lights to a custom trailer to a power pole. Everything you need, the anchors, all of the safety equipment, even a sound-making device. Trevor, do you realize even if you have an 8-foot John boat, you have to have a sound-making device? Can be a whistle, but you have to have all of these things according to the U.S. Coast Guard. So if you have a boat, before you take it out on the water, make sure you're ready to go. Swing by T.A. Mahoney's. Ask for Mike. Ask for Mark. Ask for Matt. Heck, even Mike's wife works there. She pays the bills. It's a family-owned and operated business since 1948. T.A. Mahoney's. Our good friends and proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Hold on a second. Did you just see him big time Nick Carter? And like,
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to take your call.
I'm busy doing the T.A. Mahoney spot right now. And he said that he's called him three times today.
You saw when we were in the
media
room.
Yeah, and he showed it to me. He didn't answer it. Well, it's Nick Carter.
Well. I've already talked to him.
Backstreet Boy, PewterReport.com reader.
He's a huge Buccaneer fan.
Loyal Buccaneer fan.
I've already talked to him today. Anyway, let's see if we can get him back on speakerphone here.
It's ringing.
It's probably going to come out cursing.
So what is going on?
Hey, Nick, we're live doing our podcast right now. The sound quality is probably awful. We just wanted you to say hi to the Pewter Nation readers and listeners, and we're going to have you on as a guest in the near future, all right? Well, unfortunately, we don't have the capabilities. We don't have our phone line set up, so I'm basically putting you through the speaker phone right now.
I got you.
Go ahead.
I call Mark a lot for information or even just to chat about stuff that I'm really upset about, because I have been upset about what has gone on for the past, honestly, two years with the defense. And you know, you and I have had these conversations, and we talked about it, and there needed to be a change. I'm a little upset. I thought maybe the change should have happened during the bye week to get more time to get them set in. Now, I don't know if necessarily you know, who's taking, I just heard it, you know, through the grapevine, who's taking over the offensive coordinator position. Who is it?
Mark Duffner, linebacker's coach, is the new defensive coordinator. Well, I mean, he's the most experienced guy, Nick. I mean, he's a guy that's got NFL DC experience. He was the defensive coordinator for the Bengals. Actually, that year they led the NFL in sacks with like 48. So this was several years ago. So he's an older guy, but he's got experience. And, you know, it can't be any worse. I mean, you know that. You've been watching this team for the last few years.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, this is Scott Reynolds. Listen, great minds think alike, because you and I both called for this move to happen before the bye week. And I think had it happened, you know, maybe they'd be 3-2 right now.
Right. Yeah, I 100% agree. I do believe, though, that, and I've told Mark this as well, I believe that we have enough receivers and enough positions to possibly make a trade for a veteran cornerback, I believe, before the year ends. That was my take on it. I think that there needs to be somebody in there who you can trust, who can cover, you know, wide receivers, number one receivers. And I think I read your thing on Patrick Peterson. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I mean, if Jason can swing a trade for Patrick Peterson, obviously he knows him well, having been in the Arizona Cardinals organization, then you at least have a lockdown cornerback against the likes of a Julio Jones or a Devin Funchess or a Michael Thomas in this division. And then you can double-team the other side. But Patrick Peterson then, as I wrote about on my two-point conversion after last night's game, shuts down half the field.
MJ Stewart so I feel like they just need somebody in there who has some experience that they can look up to, essentially. So.
Absolutely. Nick, we're going to have you on, man, in the near future. We're going to do it from a studio where we've got a phone line. We're going to have you on as a guest, if you don't mind. Does that sound good?
I would love to. I hope they can hear me. I don't know if they can hear through the speakerphone. I'm happy about this move. I think it was long overdue. And actually, if there's one thing that I think it proves is that Dirk has the balls, if I could say that.
Yeah.
To essentially fire someone who is a dear friend of his. You know, that they work together in Atlanta. So I mean, that's hard. So I give it to him.
Absolutely. Well, you guys don't go firing Brian or AJ or any of those guys, though, okay, man? You guys got to stay together as a group.
We will. I'll see you soon on the podcast.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, Nick. Appreciate it, buddy. See ya. Well.
That was an impromptu guest right there.
We have no idea how the sound quality is going to be. But,
yeah, probably awful.
But yeah, well, it might be.
We'll work your magic. You can work your magic, Trevor. You're a genius.
So, anyways, basically, Nick Carter, if you couldn't hear that, because this is live, we're just going live right now. If you couldn't hear that, Nick Carter was basically saying, hey, definitely agree with the move. Should have been done a while back, at least before the bye week. And then he also applauded the move that I suggested in the two-point conversion, which is go get Patrick Peterson now.
Yeah, when he called me at noon today, he was like, man, he says, I would love to see that. And he does make a good point. Look, there is no leadership in that back half of that field.
No.
There's just not. I mean, you've got JPP on the defensive line,
yeah,
which they needed because Gerald's not that guy.
Right.
You've got Kwon there, but again – Kwon hasn't exactly looked to be in Pro Bowl form.
I think Levante is really, my opinion, I think he's more of the leader. If you look before the games too, Trevor, it's like he's the one that's kind of given those rah-rah fired-up speeches now.
But there's nobody in the secondary. I mean, you have a veteran in Brent Grimes, but
he doesn't talk.
But he doesn't talk, no. And there's just nobody back there. And you know, I talked to Carlton Davis in the locker room. By the way, he expects to play against the Browns. He didn't play yesterday, and he said, man, it sucked watching that from the sideline yesterday. Yeah. It was killing him not being able to be out there. I don't know that it makes much of a difference, although as much as I hate to say it, Ryan Smith, my guest on What's Cooking last week, will probably never join What's Cooking again.
Yeah,
he had a terrible game.
Did not play well
at
all.
That was probably his worst game since that Minnesota game last season,
which
is unfortunate because he played so well against the Eagles. But anyway, but you know, Peterson is a guy that you make a good point. You can say, okay, that's your guy.
Mm-hmm.
Follow him wherever he goes. See, Brent Grimes doesn't usually move from his left cornerback spot.
He likes to be in that left spot.
And
here's what gets me. And listen, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I'm not putting down people's opinion. I'm just surprised at how much pushback I got, at least on Twitter. I haven't read all the article comments. Some of them were kind of like, what are you doing? We're talking about giving up a first-round draft pick for Patrick Peterson. My whole thing is what rookie are you going to draft next year that's going to be better than Patrick Peterson next year?
I've said it on this podcast
before.
No one. He's literally made the Pro Bowl every year of his career.
Yes.
Scott, every single one.
Yeah, and then listen, even if he only has 3 or 4 years left at that prime elite level.
Right. The window for this team is only 3 or 4 years anyways.
You need him right now.
Yeah.
Okay, because otherwise, you're going to have regime change. You're going to have half the roster
in 3 to 4 years. It doesn't matter. Anyways.
You're setting the franchise back years because it's going to take somebody coming in with their people and their draft picks and all that stuff.
What did they give up for Jason
Pierre-Paul?
A third.
Was a steal
again. Is any guy you drafted in the third round, is he going to have 5 sacks right now?
No.
Is he going to have 5 sacks next year at this
time?
Probably not. Same thing with Peterson. Look. And another point you made is if you're Jason Light, if you don't do something to shake things up, you're not going to be here anyway to be able to use that number one pick that you could potentially give away to get Patrick Peterson. Scott, you were with me. We were sitting in a room with Greg Schiano doing film study. Greg Schiano said it, and I've said it before in this podcast. He said, other than quarterback, the second hardest position for a rookie to come in and play well at is cornerback.
Yeah.
He said it's just that difficult.
In this day and age in modern football.
And this was 5 years ago that he said this.
Exactly.
It's even changed more now.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you're under siege. I mean, that's just how it is. It used to be, truthfully, like I remember when Monty Kiffin would say, well, the first thing I look at is this cornerback's got to be able to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because back in the 1990s and the early 2000s, it was still a 50-50 league at best. I mean, a 1,000-yard rusher was a big deal.
Right.
If you didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher, you weren't going to the playoffs. You weren't going to the Super Bowl, anything like that. So you had to be a tackler, especially playing a lot of cover two, where those cornerbacks, they reroute the receivers, and then they hang out there in the flat to either tackle the backs, catching balls out of the backfield, or they got to be there in run support. That was a big deal.
Right.
Now it's like you got to be able to tackle, but – boy, if you can't cover, you're not going to last long in the NFL.
Yeah,
as a cornerback.
And you know, look, unfortunately, the only way these cornerbacks the Buccaneers have on the roster now are going to get better is through experience and giving up 34 points, 40 points,
right. But
400
sometimes,
yards.
Though, when you're a young player and you get shellacked, okay,
over and over again,
you just
turn into Vernon Hargraves. Right. And I'm not knocking Vernon because I really think Vernon had turned a corner with that confidence level. But we saw Vernon as a rookie really struggle, and he admitted the following year and even into this year.
It's either going to make you better or it's going to push you out of the league.
Right.
It just is. I mean, I remember when David Carr, right, Derek's brother, was drafted by number one with Houston Texans.
Yep.
And he got sacked into oblivion. The dude was a fantastic quarterback at Fresno State. He was definitely the number one overall pick. It's just that he got turned into that deer in the headlights look all the time because he was looking out for his life every single play.
Yeah. That's exactly what's happened with Derek Carr.
Yeah, pretty much.
Gruden's ruining Derek Carr, too.
Staying in the family.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess we've beat up Mike Smith enough. Listen, I think we all agree we like Mike Smith.
Great guy.
Mike Smith could talk circles around us about defense. I mean, the guy knows a lot of defense. It
just
for whatever reason, it didn't work.
Yep.
Now, we'll find out real soon over these next, 11 games, how much of it was Mike Smith and how much of it was these players. Because, again, you change
Well, something's got to be different, right? I mean, I think you got to change both.
We
talked about it being
two-sided thing. Here's the crazy thing. The crazy thing is this offense, with the amount of points that they can put up. I mean, let's go look at Jameis Winston's first start of the year, 5 yards shy of 400 yards.
Did you see what Warren Sapp said last night?
4 touchdowns. I did not.
You didn't?
No. What did he say?
On Twitter, somebody said something about like this defense, and somebody tweeted Warren Sapp at it. And And he basically he was talking about it. Was actually it started when somebody took a screenshot of Gerald and Quan laughing on the sideline while the team was down 8, still in the second half.
Right,
they were doing their dance.
And
they were dancing.
And somebody said, he's like, Warren and Darren, or Warren and Derek Brooks, they would have never
Simeon
been.
Rice.
Simeon Rice never.
And Darren.
Never would have been. Yeah, Darren.
From Bewitched.
Yeah. Never would have been dancing around down eight. You know, if they got a sack, that was just their job. They did their job. And he said basically, like, they would.
Trevor,
they would never dance.
I know you were in this. You were in the Mercedes-Benz Dome, whatever it is in Atlanta. They were on the sideline. There was four or five of these guys having a dance routine on the sideline down
so,
eight.
So, anyways, they were dancing. Somebody, they caught it on the broadcast. Somebody tweeted it to Warren Sapp, and Warren Sapp said, likes and followers, that's all these kids care
Young
about.
Kids care about. Yep.
And then somebody else tweeted at him something about basically like, Warren. Somebody tweeted after that and said, Warren, if you had Jameis and Mike and Deshaun and Chris Godwin and O.J. Howard, how many championships would you have won? And he says, I don't know, but I know that 29 points would have been enough to win every game we played.
Of course.
So,
yeah. And, you know, the thing is, this Buccaneer defense is giving up 34 points per game right now. And what's the expectation? Truthfully, I bet you money, and we'll get to my bookie.ag in a minute. I know where you're going.
I saw
your eyebrows just rise up like, transition. I would bet money that if you said Buccaneer defense just give up 26 points per game, I bet you the Buccaneers win more than they lose down the stretch. Because this offense can put up 30 points a game, I think, almost every week.
Greg Allman had a great tweet. We call him Rain Man for a reason.
Rain Man.
Tweet yesterday. In the history of the NFL, teams that had I think it was a 400-yard passer, a 100-yard rush or 100 yards in rushing, and a quarterback that threw four touchdowns were 51-1. 51-1. Well, now it's 52-1.
Right. Buccaneers, that's one of those lucky teams that was on the losing side.
And I was talking to this offensive player that I was talking about earlier, and I said, when you put up 516 yards of offense, you should never, ever lose a football game.
Right.
And he agreed. He
Who
wasn't throwing
this?
Anybody under a bus. The unnamed player.
Oh yeah.
He's.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on there. I literally.
Yeah. No. You know. I probably doesn't want to. He probably didn't want me to name who it is. But I mean, you know, he said, you know, this team is loaded. And as I said that, Ryan Griffin walked by. I jokingly said, hell, even Ryan Griffin probably throws for 350 yards. Of course, Ryan walks right by when I say that. And I told Ryan, I said, I wasn't meaning that disparaging against you. I'm just saying, you know, he goes, there's no question about it. We have the best skill positions of any team in the league.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not even close.
That's what I'm saying. This team,
they're wasting
can put up 30 points a game.
Freaking wasting talent.
Yes.
They are wasting opportunities to go to the playoffs.
Right.
And they just, you don't know what's going to change next year.
Easily a playoff roster. Easy.
Yes.
Easy. Yeah. You can look at Caleb Benenock and go, okay, maybe not great. You could look at the third linebacker and go, okay, maybe they could upgrade there, even though I think our Darius Taylor's been fine. You could look at the secondary and say, yeah, they're inexperienced there. I don't care. You look at this roster, just look at it.
This team,
and look at the rosters that are going to make the playoffs this year, because it's not going to be Tampa's. And tell me how many Tampa is better than, because I bet it's more than half.
And if this team had a mediocre defense, not even a good
just
one.
Just average.
Ranked
middle
15th
of the road,
to 20th,
yes.
Something like that.
They're a 10-win team, easy.
They're 4-1 right now.
Yeah, they are.
Easily.
Well, if you
they
can,
might not
if
beat
you give
Matt
the Buccaneers
Nagy.
Opponents 26 points in all four of those first games, the Bucs are 4-1. The only game they lose is to Chicago.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because they only score 10 points. Otherwise, they won them all.
And that game's way different.
That game's way different.
If they,
of course.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, at least, you know, the Buccaneers were redeemed somewhat by the Bears' performance, you know, yesterday.
Jeez. Were you encouraged by
sarcasm? Fall.
They lost the Dolphins.
Yeah, I know. And I guess who put money on the Bears yesterday?
You did.
On my bookie.
You did.
.ag.
This
on
what?
Guy.
What website?
The Bears. Mybookie.ag.
Mycookie.ag is closed.
It is. It's mybookie.ag.
Oh, bookie with a B.
Longtime trusted gambling website of PewterReport.com's Pewter Nation podcast. Listen, folks, I have not been doing well. I got to admit, I've been batting around 500.
Just take what Scott says and do the opposite.
Yeah.
We should do Scott's picks of the week on Friday.
Oh God!
And so people can just go against what he
says.
The
embarrassment that I would. Well, listen. No, my problem is like for every genius pick I have, I've got boneheaded picks that just cancel out my genius.
Yeah.
So I just have to get like narrow it down to just the genius picks and just go with those.
Well, I mean, if you could do that, then you would be a rich man and everybody would be rich if it was that easy.
That's true.
There's a reason Vegas and these websites don't lose money, except for mycookie.ag. He's the only one that's ever went out of business.
That's true. 1 week in business and you're out.
I was out.
But listen, here's the great thing. If you haven't done it now, you don't need to do this at the beginning of the season. This week, you could make this week the week that you sign up for mybookie.ag and put your money where your mouth is. College football, NHL, NBA is around the corner, baseball playoffs right now, NFL, there's a ton of action you can get in on. And the best part about it is we try to make it as easy as possible for you first-time gamblers. I'm a novice at this, guys. I am not some Vegas insider by any means. I don't give out gambling advice for that reason, because I'm not that good, but I have a lot of fun putting $5 on this team, $10 on this team, whatever, whatever. And so my whole thing is go to mybookie.ag, mention the promo code Pewter, P-E-W-T-E-R, and boom, they're going to double your initial deposit.
Up to $1 million.
Up to $1,000.
Okay,
so if you put in $200, boom, you got $400. Put in $300, you got $600. If you only want to put
you're
in
really good
$50,
at math,
bucks,
by the way.
Well, this is really simplistic math.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not doing algebra here.
You put $400 in, you get $900.
No, that's $800.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah. That's the benefits of a Kansas State education right there, Mark.
Okay, HCC, Hawks.
So, listen, I started with $100. Boom, I got $200. That's just – and I'm still playing on that money. 2 years,
You know what that gives you?
Still playing
that gives you room to practice, essentially, if you're a novice guy.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just extra free money.
Mention the promo code Pewter. Go to mybookie.ag. Sign up today. And start having fun, with your wagering. They got the fastest payouts in the business. It's the only place that I go and entrust. It's mybookie.ag.
I'm hungry. Y'all hear my stomach rumbling? Let me put the microphone under my shirt.
Rumble, rumble, rumble. Why did you actually do that? No one can see it.
Feels good. Makes me feel like I got a lump in my belly. No, I'm hungry, and I've got bowling tonight. Our Pewter Report bowling league starts tonight.
Who's up
Monday.
Tonight? Who's going to be there?
Alan Cross, Mr. 5 Yard False Start, Anthony Auclair.
He also got a 5 Yard pass, I think.
Yeah, so it's all good.
To equal that out.
Evens out. Yeah. There you go with your math again. Five plus five minus five equals one. No, zero. You're right. You're pretty smart. So, but we also have Donovan Smith is going to be there tonight. Donovan has joined the team, and
he's a big avid bowler.
He is.
And O.J. Howard. Unfortunately, O.J. is not going to make it for the first week because he has a dinner that he has to attend, but he should be there for the rest of the bowling league, which is on Monday night, 6:30, Pin Chasers, located on Armenia Avenue. And there's still room, and you can join up until the second week of the league. It's an 8-week league. It's $13 a week. Gives you 3 games, pair of shoes. But listen, I'm going to try not to eat and drink a lot of beer at Pin Chasers tonight. So
just do it after.
Go get a hamburger.
Well, and listen, one thing before you get to your promo. You can come and get an autograph or a picture with O.J. or Donovan if you're in the bowling league.
Right.
Don't just show up and be
that
guy.
No, we are
guy.
Not going to do
not
that.
Not doing that. But if you sign up for the league and you want to hang out and drink some beer, have some pizza.
And you're going to bowl against these
bowl,
guys
right.
at some point during the season. The way the teams are set up right now, I think it's going to work out where every team is going to be able to bowl against those guys because you bowl against a different team each week.
So you get to
spend 2 hours with these guys.
Yeah, you get a chance to know these guys. Yep. And in that environment, you could probably ask for a selfie. You could probably ask for an autograph.
Yep.
But don't be that guy and roll up there.
Yeah,
and
with
just,
a backpack full of memorabilia and a folder full of photos.
But just sign up for the bowling league. Have fun. Yep. Bowl with these guys and have a blast.
Yep, absolutely. And support one of our great sponsors, Pin Chasers. Anthony Peroni's a big Buccaneer fan and season ticket holder and a good friend of mine and PewterReport.com.
But you said you're not going to eat a whole bunch.
I'm not going to try to eat a whole bunch, although I will say that. They've got amazing pizza for bowling alley. It's better than any takeout pizza. And I'm not exaggerating. It's really
it's good.
Good pizza.
It's good pizza.
So, but I'm going to try and hold off. I may have some tater tots and a beer or seven. But I'm gonna go find a burger somewhere. I just don't know where.
And watch Monday Night Football.
Yes, Monday Night Football tonight.
So where's a place to go in and around the Tampa Bay area, Trevor?
Family friendly, that has really
TVs,
good food.
Where you can
great
watch
ambience.
The game. Grab a beer. A lot of craft beer. They got all sorts of local taps.
I don't know, probably in a garage somewhere.
Yes. Just like some dude's garage.
Ford's garage.
Ford's
There you go.
Our Ford's pal garage. Ford.
Literally Henry Ford's garage.
Yep. It's like The Hangover when he walks in. He's like, "Did Caesar really? Like, does Caesar really live
here? This really his palace?
Like, this is, you just be like, is this, you know,
I'm not 100%
Ford's
sure,
garage,
but
know,
I'm pretty
really?
Sure Henry Ford visited all of these locations.
Yes. I think he was actually a Floridian, too.
Yes.
He had a summer home down South Florida.
Yep, absolutely. But go check out Ford's Garage, a great sponsor at PewterReport.com. And it's not just beer and burgers, guys. I always have one of their frozen drinks. They got some great drinks there, too. I've kind of pushed my way away from the Angry Ginger.
Still on the filet kick?
I'm probably going to do the filet tonight. Yeah, I was did the salmon for a long time. The blackened salmon with the Henry sauce on top with the mashed potatoes and gravy, and then, of course, the grilled asparagus, which is amazing at Ford's Garage. Check it out, Ford's Garage, multiple locations throughout the Central Florida area, even one up in Dearborn, Michigan. You can go all the way down south if you're in Fort Myers. There's one near Estero. The original actual Ford's Garage is down there, so check them out. Let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. Ford's Garage, USA.com. Go to their website. You can find out all you need to know, see their menus and all of their locations.
And for you, Pewter Report, Twitter followers, thanks for promoting us and Ford's Garage on your Twitter feed.
Absolutely.
Keep sending those pictures and tagging us and Ford's Garage. We appreciate that.
Yep, and they do too, and they notice it and they retweet it as well. So anyway, all right, guys, we're going to wrap things up. We'll be back probably, what, Thursday for another edition?
Mm-hmm. Wednesday,
yes.
Or
Thursday?
We're previewing.
Part three is
yes.
on Thursday.
Episode 100, part three.
Yeah.
It's on Thursday.
We're going to figure out when we're going to have Nick on. We're going to have to go over to the studio.
Apparently Nick wants to be on right away.
He wanted to be. We told him we couldn't really be on, and he was like, I'm staying on anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, we'll see how that audio turned out anyway. For Trevor Sickleman, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Hook, and we will see you later in the week with another edition of the Mike Smith Pewter Nation Podcast. Out.
Out.